can have church.
No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Because they're going to want to see what happens with those Legos later. Did I break this? Ooh. All right, what is it? Andrew, stay over here. Lydia, you can come up if you want. We're going to have Abby hold this because I think she's taller than me. Christ is risen! All right, Dennis, let's head to the back. Please stand in body or in spirit as we begin today's worship with a thanksgiving for baptism. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the wellspring of our Easter joy. Amen. So here, there will be a response. I will say, look, here is water, and you will say, here is our water of life. Alleluia, because you're allowed to say alleluia now, right? So, look, here is water. Here is our water of life. Alleluia. Immersed in the promises of baptism, let us give thanks for what God has done for us. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your voice thundered over the deep, and water became the essence of life. Adam and Eve beheld Eden's verdant rivers. The ark carried your creation through the flood into a new day. Miriam led the dancing as your people passed through the Red Sea into freedom's land. In a desert pool, the Ethiopian official entered your boundless baptismal life. Look, here is water.
Here is our water of life.
Alleluia. At the river, your beloved son was baptized by John and anointed with the water of life. By the baptism of Jesus' death and resurrection, you opened the floodgates of your reconciling love, freeing us to live as Easter people. We rejoice with glad hearts, giving all honor and praise to you through our risen Christ, our source of living water, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. One God, now and forever. Amen. Because look, here is water. Here is our water of life. Alleluia.
Do you want to carry
Let us pray. O God, you gave your only Son to suffer death on the cross for our redemption. And by his glorious resurrection, you delivered us from the power of death. Make us die every day to sin, that may we live with him forever in the joy of the resurrection. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
We'll see how this goes. I sound like Darth Vader. The first reading is from Acts, the 10th chapter. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of all. That message spread through Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 118 responsively with me. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever.
Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever.
The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly.
I shall not die, but I shall live and not please the Lord.
The Lord has punished me severely, but he did not give me over to death. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it.
I thank you that you have answered me, and you have come to my salvation.
The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. The word of the Lord.
Was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go tell the disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What was I supposed to say? Anyway.
Praise be to Christ.
Did it say something else? What did it say? Go back. What did it say? Oh, that's the fake good news. Mark ends with the women being terrified and running away and not telling anyone. That's how Mark ends. But then, like, people weren't happy with that, so they tried to add some verses later. Just saying. So, we've got... Right back there, you see those bags hanging on the hooks? Go grab some of them. You can hang out with those bags and play with them. It's going to be awesome. Stop it. So when I get to the one part, can you like record it? That'd be great. No. So I have to say that Wednesday was a very long day for me. It was Maundy Thursday, or it was Wednesday, and Maundy Thursday was just a day away, and then one day after that was Good Friday, and I had spent much of the day with Teresa planning those services. And I'll tell you, if you went to either of them, you'll know that these are not normal services to plan. There's lots of extra hymns for you to sing, and prayers, and then we stuff little itty-bitty short prayers in between those hymns and in the petitions of those prayers. And the night before that, I was 15 feet above the floor, clinging to a dusty pipe at a community theater on a ladder, hoping not to fall down and land 15 feet below me. I was trying to get the lights into the dark corners of the stage, and I was doing that until about 11 p.m. So by 5 p.m., 5 o'clock on Wednesday, I was just totally exhausted. And I know you're like, oh, poor Sean, you had to work more than one day this week. Oh, I feel so bad for you. And that is fair. It's fair. But nonetheless, I was exhausted and I was getting just a little bit hangry, okay? And that is a very bad combination for me. And as I was walking into my office to pick up my bag so I could go home, I remembered that I needed to send someone a message on Facebook Messenger. And I pulled out my phone and I made just this terrible, terrible mistake. I didn't click on the Facebook Messenger app. No, what app did I click on instead? Facebook. And you know my love-hate, mostly hate relationship with Facebook. So Facebook, it does its thing, and it goes through some magical algorithm, and then up pops this picture of Robert. You don't know Robert, most likely, except for a few of you over here, and his grandma. And it's a picture from a few years ago when Robert was confirmed at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Upper Sandusky. And he has on his confirmation stole, and he's standing behind his grandma Deb, and they're smiling together. And I know that none of you, except for a few, know Robert or his grandma, but I would guess that you know what Robert was feeling when Robert posted that picture. Above this picture was a very simple caption, and it read, "I will miss you a lot." You see, Deb, his grandma, died on Wednesday of this past week, the same day he posted that picture. And I don't know if it was because I know Robert and I know how much he will miss his grandma, or if it was that picture along with the innocent and simple way he expressed his emotions, "I will miss you a lot." Or if it was because I was so utterly exhausted and hangry and anxious about the upcoming week, or more likely, all of the above, but in that moment, I lost all of my ability to regulate my emotions, which I'm not good at anyway. And don't get me wrong, I tried. I fought valiantly against those tears. You know, a few of them, they started to well up on my eyelids. But I wasn't going to let them fall. I wasn't going to succumb to those tears. And we all know that if they well up and they don't fall, you didn't actually cry, right? Yeah, that's right. But more tears came after those first few, and it pushed those tears down my face. So now I was crying. So at this point, it was, oh, go grab a tissue and dab those tears, kind of crying. But then these tears just wouldn't stop. I was full on crying. And this wasn't anymore just a dab your eyes with tissues kind of crying. It was, here's a roll of toilet paper, Sean. Ugly crying. It was blubbering and shaking and snot bubbles coming out of my nose kind of crying. And I know that that's true because I was like, oh, that's disgusting. And the longer I cried, the more this sadness expanded. And I just kept thinking of those words, "I will miss you a lot." And I started thinking about my grandma and my grandpa. And the day before, Andrea had told me about how the people who had bought her grandparents' house had started to do some renovations on that house, on the house that they bought. And now in this state of uncontrolled crying, I started thinking, how dare you touch that porch? The porch where Andrea would swing with her grandma. And that gazebo in the back that Dutch, her grandpa, built with his bare hands that I remember sitting with Rosie and Dutch at. How dare you tear that down? Hands off. You're lucky we even let you live in this house, let alone you renovate it. And now I was angry, sad. I have to ask, have you ever heard of one of those rage rooms? Anybody ever been to a rage room? Man, I need to build one of these things. You just go and you smash stuff. They have like old TVs and computer monitors, and they give you a sledgehammer or a baseball bat. And I was worked up into an I want to smash stuff kind of angry sadness. And it's not fair that Robert has to live with the rest of his life without his grandma, that he'll miss a lot kind of sadness. And it's not fair that I have to miss my grandma kind of sadness. And it was in that moment that I realized that I was mad at the thing, what I was mad at. And it was the thing that was making me feel all these feels and weep and blubber and get snot all over this facial hair. What facial hair? This is a great goatee. I don't know what you're talking about. And it was the thing that made me want to smash things. And it was death. It was death itself. The thoughts of Robert forever missing his grandma, me forever missing my grandma, they had consumed me, they had overtaken me, they had enraged me. And now I was angry, sad, and I wanted to fight death. I wanted to beat the crap out of death because I hate death. I hate that death has separated Robert from his grandma and me from so many people that I love and all of you from so many people that you love. You tell me the stories of these people, and I never got to meet them. And why? Because of death. And I lament and I grieve that I never got to meet them. And I hate death. I hate it so very much. And I was angry and blubbering, and there was snot bubbling, and I just wanted to punch death right in its stupid face. So I did exactly what a pastor shouldn't do on the eve of Maundy Thursday. And Jack, it's not as bad as what you are thinking right now. It's not that. I allowed myself in my mind to skip ahead just a few church services to today. I skipped all the Maundy Thursday feet washing and the new commandment. I skipped the lament and the sadness of Good Friday. Why did I need it? I was sitting in it already at the foot of the cross. And at that moment, I needed to be reminded of the hope of Easter, the good news of Easter, the promise of the empty tomb that we heard proclaimed in Mark's gospel today. As Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome arrived at the tomb, they were ready to anoint Jesus. Not an alive and risen Jesus, a dead Jesus, his dead body. And instead, they were greeted by an open tomb, and a man in a white robe were left to assume that he was an angel. But it doesn't say for sure. And this man says to us, "Do not be alarmed." This word in Greek, alarmed, ekthambeia, it means do not be excited by fear. There is no danger here. Do not be agitated or disturbed because you are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, the one who we know was crucified, the one who died, but he is not here because he has been raised. If I were the writer of the Gospel of Mark, this is how I would put it. Jesus of Nazareth overcame death. Jesus punched death in the face. He beat the crap out of death. And then I will tell you, after I had skipped ahead to this part of this week, the thought of it, through tears and a few snot bubbles, it made me smile. And it even made me laugh a little bit. And in that moment, I just knew that I needed some kind of perpetual reminder that whenever death does to me what it did on Wednesday, I needed something that would remind me of this truth, something to say, don't be agitated and disturbed by the power of death, something that would make me smile and laugh in the face of death, something that would make me smile and laugh. Something to remind me that Jesus Christ, through the power of the cross, had defeated death. To remind me that Jesus Christ used the cross to defeat death. To remind me that Jesus took the symbol of shame and suffering and death and used it to defeat death itself. And I needed something to remind me that Jesus used the cross to destroy death. Death. So over the weekend, Andrea and I had a little bit of fun with Legos. We built death out of Legos. And then last night, about 10 o'clock, I built this little wooden cross. Not out of Legos. And I just knew that the next time that death did something to me like it did on Wednesday, I needed to remember that death doesn't win. We missed those. We did not hit those windows. Death doesn't win. Death will never win. Because this cross will always, always stand victorious over death. Jesus will always, always stand victorious over death. I need a little help from kids to prove it to me. Can you pick those Legos up and place them at the foot of that cross? Pick them up myself. Yeah, right. Did anybody see the one that almost hit the stained glass window? That made me really nervous. This cross will always stand victorious over death. Jesus Christ will always stand victorious over death. And that doesn't mean that death is not painful. It doesn't mean that Robert won't always miss his grandma a lot. It doesn't mean that I won't always miss my grandma a lot. It doesn't mean that you won't always miss your loved ones and your friends, those who have gone before you in death. It doesn't mean that you won't miss them a lot. And yet here we stand. Here we stand defiant in the face of death. As an Easter people, we know that death holds no power over us. Because here stands the cross, and here stands, I'll pick those up, Tammy. Here lays crushed and destroyed death. Because we aren't a people without hope. We know the truth of our baptism. A baptism, by the way, that Robert had just affirmed in that picture with his grandma. A baptism that tells Robert, that tells us, for if we have been united with Christ in a death like his, we will most certainly be united with Christ. I'm doing that again because I love this verse. If we have been united with Christ in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. So today, with Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, with Deb and my grandma and all of your loved ones, and all of the saints who have gone before us, we stand before the empty tomb and we demand that death answer us. We shout into that empty tomb, "Oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting?" And death has no reply because this cross right here stands victorious, over top of death. Death stands no chance against Jesus and the power of this cross. And why? Because Jesus Christ is risen. Amen. Do I have to give that whole last paragraph again? Because Jesus is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Let all God's people say hallelujah.
And
for that I say, thanks be to God.
I ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe
in one God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten.
The Son of the Holy Spirit.
rejoicing that Jesus is risen and love has triumphed over fear, let us pray for the world, the church, and all those in need of this good news.
Life-giving God, we pray for the earth, your good creation, that together we proclaim the Easter hope. Bring the water of life to all places on earth, especially where drought and water shortages persist. Grant the right combination of rain, dew, sun, and clouds for farmers this spring as they ready the fields for planting, that they may exercise their vocation in feeding your people. God of grace,
hear our prayer. Holy God, we pray for the body of Christ, the church. Where the church is persecuted, protect it. Where the church is privileged, grant it humility. Where the church is fractured, heal it. We especially pray for the broken Lutheran body across this nation, that we may come together in communion. And for our local Lutheran churches, Peace, St. John's, Trinity, St. Paul, and First, that we may come together in fellowship. Guide us all to embody Christ's foot-washing love in the world. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Merciful God, we pray for all peoples and nations. Free oppressed communities from occupation, exploitation, and abuse. Teach leaders your way of justice. Empower peacemakers and all who work to end violence and strife, that your promised kingdom may come near, a kingdom in which violence and death and bloodshed are no more, and cross's victory has come to fullness. God of grace,
hear our prayer. Liberating God, we pray for people everywhere who long for good news. Roll away the stones that keep people from living with dignity and wholeness. Breathe new life and hope into people struggling to make it through each day. Relieve all who live with chronic illness, suffering, and pain, and those experiencing grief, especially the family and friends of Connie, George Bowden, Holly, Ken, Robert, Jake, Tony, David, Ed, Marcella, Pastor Tim, Peggy, Sally, Bobby, Nancy, Caleb, Jim, Karen, Sandy, Bill, Linda, Wilma, and for all those that we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts.
Dwayne Scott.
God of grace.
Loving God, we pray for this community of faith, First Lutheran Church and our partnership church, St. Paul's, and for our sister churches in Galleon and in the Northwest Ohio Synod. Feed us at your Easter table and fill us with your wisdom, that we may serve and care for the people of Galleon, Crawford County, Northwest Ohio, and beyond. God of grace,
hear our prayer. Eternal God, we remember those who have gone before us in death, especially the saints of First Lutheran and those that we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Through the cross you defeated death. Renew our trust in the promise and power of the cross and remind us of the gifts of our baptism. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Make this our sure and certain hope. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, most merciful God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your abiding love, through Jesus Christ, our resurrected and living Lord. Amen. And now, the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's Easter peace with one another. Seeing if they'll notice and stop, Tracy. At this time, we continue with our gifts and our offerings. Thank you.
pray. Risen One, you called us to believe and bear fruit. May the gifts that we offer here be signs of your abiding love. Form us to be witnesses in this world. Through Jesus Christ, our true vine. Amen.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome and Peter and all of the witnesses of the resurrection, with the earth and sea and all their creatures, with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn singing. Blessed are you, O God of the universe, in your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise to you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your Spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took the bread. He gave thanks and broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks. He gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and with this cup, we remember the Lord's Passover from death into life as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ is alive.
O God of the resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and of wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence. Come, Holy Spirit. Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of bread and raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love.
Come, Holy Spirit.
With your ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with the sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, and blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and gather us to one in the Holy Spirit and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom
come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven.
Give us
this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The one who stands victorious over death presides over this meal. The risen Christ is made known to us in the breaking of the bread and the pouring of the wine. Come and eat at God's table, where you and everyone are always welcome. Hey, Mike, you want to give the bread out today?
All right.
We're going to do a remembrance of baptism. What we call an audible. Hold on, Mike.
Oh.
Death like his, you are united with him in a resurrection like his. Remember the gift of your baptism. 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 Remember that if we are united with him in a death like his, then we are certainly united with him in a resurrection like his. Remember the gift of your baptism. 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 Remember that if we are united with him in a death like his, we are united with him in a resurrection like his. Remember that if we are united with him in a death like his, we are reunited with him in a resurrection like his. Remember the gift of your baptism. Remember the gift of your baptism. Of your baptism. Remember that if we are united with him in a death like his, we are most certainly united with him in a resurrection like his. Remember the gift of your baptism. Remember the gift of your baptism. death like his, we have most certainly been united with him in a resurrection like his. Remember that if you are united with him in a death like his, you are most certainly united with him in a resurrection like his. You may remain seated. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. Shepherding God, you have prepared a table before us and nourished us with your love. Send us forth from this banquet to proclaim your goodness and share the abundant mercy of Jesus, our Redeemer and friend. Amen.
Amen. I need to say two things. One, happy Easter. And to say, two, I am really glad I did not break one of those windows. I was really nervous when that's...
Why did I do it the other way? Yeah.
Well, then I would have broke the organ. Anyway. I was worried that, yeah, they don't... We can replace Adam, the organ. Just kidding, Adam. Just kidding. We love you. And, what a joy it was for you to share your musical gifts with us today. And what a gift it was for me to get to worship with you all today. The last several days have been very wonderful to worship with you all. It's been a wonderful season of Lent, and today was just so joyous, and to see you all here, a privilege and an honor to worship with you. So, are there any other announcements this morning? Seeing and hearing none, we are going to proclaim, after our blessing, of course, that our Redeemer lives. But please stand for the blessing. May the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord's face shine upon us with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon us with favor and give us peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
but you will not find him in this tomb. For Christ is risen.
Christ.